Appreciate it. Help us out here on Wednesday night to make it to Sunday. Amen. Okay. See if I can get this thing just right here. All right. Stephen said somebody said he touched it 80 times. Please don't count how many times I touch it. Amen. I want you to look, we're going to go a little different tonight. I want you to go to the merry-go-round book. That's Ecclesiastes. And that's what it appears to man as he looks at it in the natural setting of things, as he judges things from under the sun as he looks on them. I'm going to speak on a little subject tonight that Sister Shirley Woolham mentioned this to me. It's a word that you hear thrown around quite a bit today. In fact, it's given a lot more credit than it should be. And you hear it on the, even on the news and so forth. And it's the word karma, K-A-R-M-A. Really, all the word means is action or deed, but in the false teaching about it, the cults and the false religions use it so wrong. And so it's all right for us to ask and talk about a little bit about what it means. It's always good when you don't understand something to ask why. Somebody says, well, I'm afraid the question's too simple. If you don't know the answer, you need to not fear asking. Amen. If you don't understand, you need to find out. I think about the little girl at the wedding. She asked Mama, said, how come all the weddings we go to, the bride is always dressed in a pretty white dress? Why is it a white dress? And the mother said, well, she dresses in white because it's the happiest day of her life. And the little girl thought a minute. She said, then why is the groom dressed in black? If you don't know why, you ask. Amen. So on this thing of karma, I want to talk to you a little bit about it tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, next to the last chapter, chapter 11. I'll use some other verses, but I'm just going to start here for starting place. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. This is a verse you might read and pass over pretty fast without giving it a lot of thought as to what it really is telling us. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, in a literal sense, you cast the bread on the water and it'll melt and go away and you won't never see it again. So it's not talking about that. It's talking about giving away something and it'll come back that you'll later on see it come around again. All through the Bible, especially the Psalms and Ecclesiastes. For instance, Ecclesiastes tells you a fellow digs a pit for somebody else, he may fall in it himself. See, the way the thing works comes around there. The psalmist talks about that a lot, and sometimes the liberals will criticize the Psalms by saying they're predatory, or they're saying that the psalmist was begging God for vengeance. And that's true in some cases. There's some cases in the Bible where you find prophets asking God to bring judgment down and not understanding why he don't. Because the sin deserves it, and they know God's law, and they know it's been broken. And they're saying, God, why don't you just drop the atom bomb on them? Have you ever felt like that, huh? Sure we have. Sure we have. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering, because he might have dropped it before you and I got saved? Amen? So we have to be careful about that. But the word karma, now it's used in Hollywood, used by the news people. Some knowledgeable news people like Bill O'Reilly, every now and then I'll hear him sometimes say, well, it was just bad karma. And you'll hear others saying that sort of thing. And so it's often used that way. And if you're not careful, what you hear often enough used wrongly will catch on. It'll get you. That's what happened when Hitler was able to come to power. He kept saying it often enough till finally some folks begin to believe his lies. And that's the way the Antichrist will be when he shows up also. Well, what is it? Well, it's a doctrine. It's a religious doctrine. It's a doctrine found in India. and other places, but India we think of because it deals with Hinduism, deals with the Buddhist and all those that teach. And by the way, there's all kind of variations of it. And a lot of words you and I couldn't pronounce involved in it. A lot of various theories about it, that sort of things. But it also has to do with reincarnation in most cases. Now, reincarnation is a false doctrine the devil uses. You better be careful about that. I mentioned in Sunday school Sunday morning about the big temple over there in India where wall-to-wall rats on the floor. And they make you go in barefoot because those rats are gods. And you would be under penalty of law if you stepped on one and hurt it. You can bring offerings into them, little bowls of milk or whatever you think they might lack, and they're filthy, dirty, nasty, disease-carrying things. But I'm talking about a temple probably Tom might know up there. He's probably been there. But a building probably as big as this, maybe bigger and higher. But you walk in through there, and on that tile floor, rock floor, it is totally wall-to-wall rats like you'd think of wall-to-wall carpet. They just mingling among each other. And the reason you can't step on one is that's probably a relative of somebody that's being reincarnated. And so in a sense, the rats worship. So they'll feed the rats, let the kids starve. Isn't that amazing? But on this thing of karma and reincarnation, and especially with the Buddhists and some others, they see life and eternity and all that involved as a great big wheel turning. And you ever hear the saying, what goes around comes around? Well, you see, as we talk about sowing and reaping, and that's the Bible issue with it, we talk about things like that. Well, what goes around comes around. Well, what we're saying when we say that, we say something like poetic justice. This guy done wrong, and then we saw it catch up with him much later. So what we observe in this natural world under the sun, as the writer of Ecclesiastes is pointing out so much, what we observe, of course, is that things do come around, and it is observable. And, well, you can observe gravity, but you can't see it. You see the effect of it. If you drop something, what made it hit the floor? Well, the gravity pulled it down there. And so when we look at life and we look at good deeds and bad deeds, actions, so forth, and we see they do seem to come around in a circle. Jesus said, they that live by the sword will die by the sword. You have several verses in the Bible, like do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You see the Lord is teaching what Paul explains very thoroughly then for us, and if you don't know the verse, look at it, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. And of course, you ought to be able to quote this, and you ought to remember to try to live by it best you can. It says in Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. Now, I said, don't fool yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we know about sowing and reaping, and we sometimes talk about how you, and Paul used the illustration, sowing one kernel of corn, one grain, one seed, but it produces much more. And so in sowing and reaping, we always reap, what, more than we sow. So we understand that. And yet this doctrine of karma is misused. You hear folks talk about good karma, bad karma, that sort of thing. Now, what that is basically saying is, and it is a false doctrine, what I'm about to explain. They're saying that maybe in past lives, before you were reincarnated into this one, you have done some bad things that you may be paying for in this one. Now see, that's false, of course. But in this one, you might be doing some good deeds, and hopefully if you live real good, you'll get a higher plane when you're reincarnated again. Or you could, if you a bad person, got bad karma, you may go back lower. You might be one of those rats on the floor in that temple. Amen. I'm glad I don't believe in none of that doctrine. I'm glad none of that doctrine is true. Amen. But we hear it spoken of so much on TV. One way or the other, you'll hear somebody, and we have to be careful about judging this, but we'll say, well, he got what he deserves. Well, I'm thankful I didn't always get what I deserve, so I want to be I want to be careful about that sort of judging. But it is observable to look in the natural law of things and see, as a whole, that things come around. It does tell us there's a God in heaven. Now, some of the cults and isms, Buddhism and Hinduism and things, some of them believe there is a supreme being, or they got so many gods that one particular God is having something to do with helping bring justice upon you and your karma, good or bad. And then some of them believe, no, it's more like a natural cycle. They believe all kind of variations. Nobody could hardly figure it out. But it's basically this kind of thing, that in life, you do this and you reap for it later when your karma comes around, when the payoff comes around, good or bad. Some of them, Brother Tom might know some of this stuff, some of them don't believe when you get sick, for instance, in this life, that you ought to take medicine to get well or to shorten your sickness. Here's the philosophy behind that. When you get sick, that's bad karma you're having to pay for. So you're best to suffer it out instead of shortcutting it with some medicine. Now, that's kind of unreasonable to our Western way of thinking. But the sad part is, in the Western way, and I'm not just saying in the Christian way, but the Western way has been influenced, of course, by Christianity down through history. But in the Western thinking, we're beginning to make excuse with this thing. So, all right, I messed up. It was just bad karma. It's an excuse-making thing. It's a pass-the-buck type of thing that we better watch out for, because you're hearing that. You're hearing that on TV quite a bit. Now, let me just say a few little things about it. To begin with, biblically, we believe in sowing and reaping. Bible tells us so. Bible warns us about it. Bible says in Hosea chapter 8, if we sow to the wind, we shall reap the whirlwind. Well, that means you're getting more than you sowed. You're reaping more than you sowed. It's going to come back bigger than you sent it out. Now, here in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, we take this in a good sense of, if I give my bread, so to speak, to the poor, for instance, or I give my substance to a good thing, not looking for an immediate reward, yet if you study life, you'll find out that it comes around again for good. I agree with that. I've experienced that. I think most of us have, if we think about it. When I read this verse, and I'll get back to my subject in a minute. When I read this verse, it always brings an event to mind and a story I've told you before. And some of you here that live through it with me, I'll tell it, because some of you haven't heard. And as always, I want to hear it again, right? When we first built the youth camp, we got by the first 2 years pretty good. But about the third year, we had some vindictiveness come our way, because there had been some authorities that had given us trouble in the Christian school, and they lost. They had pie on their face when it was over with. But they came back then and hit the youth camp the next year. And we had almost, before it was over with, almost had a shootout out there. Anyway, we were building. The first year we went swimming in the creek out there, like good old country kids do. In fact, I guess the second year we probably bused the kids to one of the lakes that was a swimming lake here. I think we went up to Lake Hamilton or Lake Eva down here, I'm not sure, for the girls' turn and the boys' turn. But by the third year, we had started building our swimming pool. And right in the midst of building that swimming pool, on a Saturday afternoon, we were working some of those half days, from daylight to midnight. That's half day, by the way, 24 hours in a day, 12 hours is a half day. Anyway, we were working those kind of days, trying to get things done. And Saturday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I had a deputy's car pull up. We were working on the pool at that time. He had a legal order for me to cease and desist. That meant stop, and you can't have camp, which was starting Monday morning. And of course, I treated the deputy all right. He was just doing his job, but I told him we would not close up and stop. So it was a battle that week. We had quite a battle with it. To back up just a little bit, a number of months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years before that, I was in the office one afternoon after lunch, and the secretary buzzed me and said, there's a lady out here, says she don't know you. You don't know her, but she wants to know if you'll counsel with her a little bit. And so I said, sure. So she came in and sat down there and said to me right off the bat, she said, I want you to know I'm Catholic. I'm not Baptist, but I want you to know I'm saved. I want you to know that I'll probably never come to your church, and I'll certainly never change my religion. I want you to know that up front, but I'm having trouble in my family, and my husband and I just want to know if you'd counsel me some. But she was right up front. Nothing in it for you, preacher. Just going to take some of your time. I said, okay. And so I gave her biblical counsel, and I never saw the lady again. Time went on. I'm going to guess a year. Might have been 2 years or even a little more, but it was in that nick of time. Well, we had a real fight out there at camp because I wouldn't close it down. And I can't get in those details or my time would be gone. But some of you were in it with me, and you know. It was quite a week, but we stayed open, and by the grace of God, we did win the battle. But it was an interesting thing how that about the second day of that, after they saw I was not, they were not going to be able to win, they moved to another tactic, which they always do. First place, whatever agency is giving you trouble, they try to bring the other agencies in. They did that. Then when that didn't work, they went to the news media. And they went to the news media. They went to, at that time, the Winter Haven news chief, Winter Haven, the paper. I didn't know that. But here's what happened, I found out later. The so-called authorities, bureaucrats, called the newspaper to smear us. They said, Landmark is involved in child abuse, child neglect. They just attacked the camp every kind of way and us. And so the editor, he was getting a call from the authorities, so he was fixing to print it. But he said to a reporter that he had, he said, this is really something. Why don't you go out there and check it out? He said, I'm getting the story. And said, no, he gave the story to the reporter to write up. She said, I won't write it without checking it out. He said, well, you better hurry. It's for tomorrow. So she hurried out to the camp because she told the editor, she said, I've met that preacher. And she had. She was the woman I had counseled in the office. So she came out and she went back and wrote the story. A beautiful story about us. What a wonderful job we were doing. Now that's Ecclesiastes 11:1. That afternoon, I could have said, I'm too busy. Here's a Catholic lady, never going to be a Baptist, she says. I don't need to be wasting my time with her. I could have said that. But I cast some bread on the water, never expecting to see it again. But it sure come in at the right time, brother. And the rest of that story would take too long. But I'm saying I could tell you some other stories, and if you were thinking your own life, you've seen that sort of thing come around, and that is a principle, just like gravity is. It is a biblical thing when described by the scripture as sowing and reaping. Now, I ask the question, does it apply to everybody, lost and saved? I say to you, sowing and reaping applies to everybody. just like gravity would apply. You jump off the water tank, you say, but I'm saved. You'll hit the ground just as hard as that lost drunk will. It applies equal, amen? And so does the law of sowing and reaping. Now you got Bible examples. You remember the story of Naboth and King Ahab? You remember how that Ahab stole his vineyard and had his Jezebel had him stoned and his son stoned so he could steal the vineyard? You remember how the prophet showed up and Elijah showed up and told him God was going to get him? And he said, the dogs are going to lick your blood. He promised some karma. He promised some sowing and reaping. And when old Ahab come in wounded from the battle, they washed the chariot out as he died and washed the blood out in the very spot where they had stoned Naboth. And the old dogs came and licked his blood. Just like the prophet said. Read your Bible. Wonderful story. Wonderful story. And years passed, many years passed between the time that he stole Naboth's vineyard and the time that the dogs licked his blood after he was killed in battle. Somebody, some poet has said something like this. He said, the judgment wheels of God grind exceedingly slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. They don't miss anything. They don't miss anything. And you got the stories, other stories, and now the question rises, well, does sowing and reaping affect eternity? Well, what happens in eternity? Well, it does. If you read the story in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, you remember how the rich man got an explanation that in this life you received the good things? You had it made, boy. And Lazarus, the bad things, remember? But now, he's comforted and thou art tormented. Now, the rich man didn't have to go to hell to be lost. He was lost walking around. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he went there to get saved. He was already saved or he wouldn't have went there. But still you have a sowing and reaping. You have a cycle that takes place. And while I don't open up a big can of worms, if you were to, and a lot of folks are really wrongly dividing Revelation, but in Revelation chapter 20, you got the great white throne judgment. And when they're called before there, they're judged according to their works. Now you're saved by grace, not works. And so some folks forget they've already left the grace age. They're already out there, even at least, if not past, at least in the beginning of the millennial reign and the great white throne judgment is taking place. So don't try to judge that dispensation by this dispensation where we're saved by grace. Is it better? Nobody wants to go to hell, but if you had to go to hell, you'd be better off to go to hell as one that never heard the gospel and turned it down, number one. And then number two, you were kind to people instead of being a Hitler or a killer or a Genghis Khan or somebody like that. Yeah, your works will count at the great white throne judgment when the sentences are passed. Don't take any comfort in that. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be judged there as a lost man, no doubt about it. But I'm saying to you, it goes on into eternity. Now, does it affect life here today? It sure does. And America's being affected by it bad today, and we have been for years. For instance, Brother Steve DeLore and I were talking just a little bit this afternoon, and he showed me a sketch. It was really interesting. I've said something about it, preached some about it before. America right now is reaping what we have sown for a long time. One of the things we're reaping is what I want to call the baby bomb. Not the atom bomb, but the baby bomb. So what do you mean? Do you realize that since 1973 in America, on paper, accounted for, we have aborted 40 million lives. 40 million. Not 4,000, not 40,000, not 4 million, 40 million. Do you know what we're hurting from today? We don't have enough young folks in the working age now to help you older folks continue to get your Social Security check. The workforce has been deleted. Not only the babies we aborted, but the babies that would have had babies. Now you're into the exponential curve. Now you're into really some big numbers when you're dealing with that. Now, at the same time, and by the way, now we're going to abort them over the gender. If it's a girl and you don't like it, well, you just abort it. That's what they did in China. Do you hear our radio program this week? Did you hear it when they're talking about the pull the pregnant Chinese woman out and forced her to have the abortion? You heard that on our news this week. Well, what I'm saying to you is we're reaping for that. Somebody says, what do you mean? I mean when a Muslim can marry legally four wives. In America, he can have four wives. They look the other way. And they have all the babies they want. They're outgrowing us so fast. Where China's got a, they claim a million men now with no wives because they aborted all the girl babies. See, we got a bomb, a baby bomb going off in America now that is amazing. I'll just say this, you look right in our own church congregation. I hate to say it, but us older folks are fading away. That's right. And unless the younger folks step up to be to take the ball field, where are we going to be in 10 years if God gives us that long? Well, apply that to the United States. Apply it to the baby thing I just talked to you about. It is bad, folks. It is really ridiculous. And the truth is, and by the way, it used to be that Social Security was saved up, and when the old folks got to the right age, they got it. That's not the case now. You small businessmen, you know they make you pay ahead of time. They're using it from what we used to say, hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, because there's no storage. There's nothing left. It's all used up, messed up. I'm not trying to scare you about anything. I hope your security is in a lot higher, safer place than the government anyhow. But with all that said and done, we're reaping for the abortion holocaust that we have had in all these last 40 years. Now, that's an example. Call it bad karma if you want to. Our attitude, though, toward true sowing and reaping, we ought to understand something about it. First place, the only way you can deal with bad karma is get saved. Because sin has a penalty to it. Sin has a payment that must be met. Sin makes you pay in this life as well as in the life to come if you die lost. So the truth is right now, we need to leave that to God in this sense. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And I see too many people that live like the devil, sow their wild oats, and then pray for crop failure in their kids. You know what I just said? There's a lot of parents reaping what they sowed, and they reap it in their kids. So I tell you, the best thing to do, no matter what your background is, you can get saved, you can get made clean, you can have your sins forgiven, and you can get a new start. And that's the only answer. That's the only answer. Now, after you're saved, will you still reap what you sow? Yes, you will as you go. I believe God honors them that honor him. That don't mean Christians can't get sick. It don't mean they can't have financial trouble. It does rain on the just and unjust alike, the scripture says. But hey, the difference is if I go in the fire as a Christian, I have somebody in there with me. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's all right privately for you and I to observe sowing and reaping. Now, we need to be careful. We don't just want to see it on somebody else. Look for it in your own life some too. It don't hurt to look in the mirror and say, what did I do for this? Now, again, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you didn't do anything for it. You just happened to be close to somebody that had a bad cold, so you caught it. Amen? Or you brought an error on yourself and caused that fender bender. Don't blame God for all that junk that's your fault. And we all have a tendency to do that. I had a flat tire. Why, Lord? Well, why'd you roll that nail? Lord didn't have nothing to do with that. You're the guy that run off the side of the road and hit the rock. I mean, we ought to be careful about what we blame God for sometime. But yes, we can observe it. But it's amazing to me how even the lost world recognizes it. Now, they got the false doctrines, the reincarnation and all of that with Buddhism and Hinduism and stuff. But above all that, honest sowing and reaping to a great degree is observable. They used to have a program back in the black and white days on TV a long time ago. I can almost remember the guy's name. Later on, he made a, I think they used him for a James Bond movie. Roger Moore, does that ring a bell? He had a program the first time I ever noticed, way back when we could get three channels, if you went outside and twisted the antenna, called The Saint, S-A-I-N-T. That was the name of it. He was a English whatever, CIA type man, agent, British agent, drove a little old Volvo around. But in the program, it was based on sowing and reaping. The bad guy basically done what Proverbs says, he dug a pit for somebody else, but he fell in it himself. That was basically the early theme of that program. I remember in a particular case where the bad man had gone to the agent's apartment and he'd planted a bomb, explosive. And so he goes back to his house or his apartment, and at the right time he's going to push the button and he's going to blow up the good guy. But the good guy discovers the bomb and he takes it to the bad man's apartment and plants it. Then he calls up the bad man on the phone, and they're talking on the phone, and he's warning him without telling him the bomb's in your house, not mine. And he's basically asking him not to push the button, but the bad guy pushes the button. That's that's what I'm talking about there when it says poetic justice. I pushed the button to blow you up, but the bomb was in my house. I blew myself up. Now, the lost world observes that sort of stuff. And that's why they love to throw a word. They're not going to throw a Bible word around very much on the news, but they'll throw a word like karma around. And then our young folks will get to thinking, well, that gives me an excuse, bad karma, grandpa back in my history somewhere, or I done something wrong, and I'm paying for it now. That excuses me. I couldn't help it. That's a bunch of junk. Do not be fooled with that sort of stuff. Now, sometimes you see sowing and reaping take place fast. Sometimes it takes it a long time, sometimes years, but it will happen. I remember there used to be a grocery store in town. It started off when I first knew about it. It was called Lovett's. That's a long time ago. Then I think the next name was called Table Supply. I think it ultimately wound up as being Quick Check after it sold out enough times. But when it was called Table Supply, as a 14-year-old boy, I got a job there working on Saturdays, bagging groceries and toting groceries to the cars. And they parked anywhere in town they wanted to. You had to carry the groceries to them. That's the truth, honest truth. And some of the women in town, you carried it all the way to their apartment. Truth. And I did that. You started early in the morning. We actually got down there at 6 a.m. and we washed up the floor and cleaned up, and it was a good night that we got out by 10 o'clock. I still remember how much money I made. One Saturday, $4.92 was my take-home pay on Saturday as a 14-year-old kid. But that's not the point. Here's the point. Once in a while, the manager would give us a little extra job. And on a particular Friday afternoon, a ball game was away. The Hornets was playing somewhere else. And I had an old junker car, and me and my buddy was going to that ball game. I can't remember. I think it was in Kissimmee. But the boss wanted us to pass out these special flyers all over town for the special sale he was going to have on Saturday. So my buddy, who had been at the store longer than me, he said, we got to do it. Got to do it when time school's out. I said, we'll never make the ball game. We'll be there after dark passing these things out all over. I mean, go to every house, stick them in the screen door. That's what we're supposed to do, put them on the front porch. Well, we worked hard. I mean, the old-fashioned car I had a running board. Anybody know what a running board is? You could stand on the running board and jump off that running board. I mean, you could make time you can't make with a modern car now for that way. So we'd take turns driving until one of us run out of breath, and then we'd drive, and the other one, he'd run. So we did it legit for a while. But then we saw that we were not going to make the ball game. So we connived what we would do. We decided we'd get rid of all those flyers in one place. There was a little garbage hole behind the place over here. I'd still take you to it. And we dumped that whole pile of flyers in that hole. And we went to the ball game. Now, we just barely made it, but we went to the ball game. And the next day, Saturday, we're back on the job, 6 a.m, bagging groceries, and then here come the manager. He was so mad, his eyes was popping out. He was chewing his tongue and foaming at the mouth. He was getting phone calls from all this side of town because the wind had got up and was blowing our flyers all over the streets and all over the yards. Now that was sowing and reaping fast. And my buddy, I was not saved, didn't know anything about being saved, but my buddy did, and I didn't find out till many years later that he was saved. And so I didn't understand what he said to me that afternoon. He said, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. I know what he's talking about. Years later, I wanted to kill him when I found out he was saved, and yet we got in so much trouble, and he was doing the sowing and reaping, and I was reaping with him. Truth. My wife can tell you, she knows some of that story about it, but I'm just saying sometimes it comes around fast, really fast, faster than you'd think sometimes. But many of us could tell stories like that, and preachers obviously see so much heartbreaking sowing and reaping. That didn't have to happen, but it did. Preachers could tell you, I told you so much of the time. And one of the saddest things in the world is to hear folks cry about what they reaped. I remember my first church. I had an old retired preacher in it. He was a good guy. Even at that time, I guess he had to been in his 80s. And of course, I was still in my early 30s then. And we'd have the men's prayer meeting, and there wouldn't be many of us. There'd be a half a dozen, sometime maybe a dozen. And we'd have prayer meetings. And he would be in that prayer meeting. And when it come his time to pray, you knew he didn't care about who was listening except God. And I could hardly listen to him pray without tearing up myself, because he'd bring it around, and the next thing you knew, he was confessing why he had to get out of the ministry. He was confessing, I done wrong. He was confessing, God, I'm reaping. God, it didn't have to happen. And God, I'm so sorry. And it'd break your heart to hear that guy. But you see, you say, well, hadn't he repented up? Oh, best he could. Wasn't it all the blood? Yes, it was. But the scars were still there, and the scars still hurt. The wounds were still there, and they still hurt. And I remember every time I'd hear him pray like that, I'd think of old King David in the Bible. Remember King David, man after God's own heart? Remember when he looked when he should have been out on the battlefield? Remember how the trouble he got in, Bathsheba, and finally the murder of her husband? And do you understand the rest of the story of David is the reaping? How his own son rebelled against him. How he lost the kingdom there. All the hard stuff that he went through. And what was he doing? He was reaping. And it was a painful and a shameful thing. And yet by God's grace, God didn't kill him, and he led him through it, but he didn't stop the reaping. Yes, Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man." He put his hand finger in the face of the king, and he said, "Thou art the man." And death was the penalty, but God let him live and forgave him, but he didn't stop the reaping. The reaping came right on anyhow, if you check out the whole story. Now, when you get to this word karma, that's what it is in the Bible, but not with all the foolishness they have on it. And it's not an excuse. And I wish they knew the answer, because they suffer greatly under those false teachings and all of that and all the variations they have. I'm glad to know my sins are paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, he's overcome my bad karma. If you had a bad childhood, if you had a bad home, if you've been abused, if you've been hurt and you've been scarred, let me say something to you. You don't have to suffer under the karma thing that those false religions teach. You can come to Jesus Christ, and as you heard in the special tonight, you must be born again. You can be born again. Your sin can be forgiven. And how many great servants of the Lord today did have such a bad start? And yet, look how God cleaned them up and God used them. Be careful today. There's a lot of brainwashing going on because that boob tube pipes it into our living room. And our kids pick up on it. You'll find kids talking about karma. You won't find them talking about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is the Bible term, the Bible truth that we need to know about.